When a baby is born, generally speaking, there is excitement and happiness and great delight. This is my only child that I know to have been born to Judy and I, because it's the only one. It's my youngest. It's Courtney. Just a few short minutes after she was placed in my arms, I decided not to show you that picture because Judy and I didn't look quite as excited as what we probably were on the inside, especially Judy after having a C-section and been in labor for hours and hours and hours, and then Courtney not coming. This picture represents the first sight of seeing our prayers being answered, prayers for many years. Many of you walked that path with us. But as I was thinking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I began to ask myself, what causes new parents, like Judy and I, when this almost 7 years ago happened, or 6.5 years ago happened, what causes us as new parents when we hold and see that bundle of, and we actually call it a bundle of what? Joy. What causes us to rejoice? What causes us to be joyful? Is it the realization that this child has a sin nature? Probably not. Is this because that this child is going to have to be disciplined in the future? Hopefully not the first few days. Probably not. In fact, I would say that that was the furthest thing from our minds when we were thinking about and looking at what God had given to us. So what causes parents to be excited and happy and have great delight? The cause of joy is that a new life has been formed and for the first time is visually seen, and perhaps, more likely than not, heard. And it's an opportunity for new parents. And in our case, we kind of were a little bit different way of going about it. When we went to the birthing, well, we didn't go to the birthing classes. We just went to the hospital meet and greet. And it was weird because all of the parents that were in that meeting that night at Peace Health at St. Joseph's were all parents expecting their first child. But what none of them had were children already at home. So we had two children already at home, one which was only a few months old, 4 or 5 months old, maybe a little bit older, 6. But we still hadn't been through the process of receiving our own biological child for the first time. And so when that happened, you have feelings, you have thoughts, maybe a little bit of fear and trepidation, although maybe not so much for us because we had already gone through two children and received them into our home. But still, there was excitement. It's delight as you, as parents, get to show off that first child to all your friends and family members. And I have, as I looked in the folder, as I put this picture on the PowerPoint, as I looked in the folder of the pictures from Courtney's birth, I see picture after picture that Judy took, or I took, or somebody took, of different family members and friends that came through the hospital that first couple of days after Judy gave birth to Courtney. So it's pure delight for parents who have expected and patiently waited for their new son or daughter to make his or her arrival. And while I do not have any announcements for you today about new babies coming into the small household, I do want to speak on the special birth of Christ and the joy of those who witnessed it. The joy of those who witnessed it. And it gives us ample proof that the Savior and Messiah of this world has been born. The birth of Christ was made known, as we're going to see this morning, to several groups of people in the early days of his life on this earth. And while Christ was born in the same exact way that Courtney was born and that you and I were born, his uniqueness as the Son of God and professed Messiah caused many to rejoice in the good news of his birth. So come with me today as we look at people who had great joy at Christ's birth. The joy at Christ's birth. First of all, in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read and starting in verse number 7, but the joy of the angels, the joy of the angels. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. In this well-known passage, the most well-known passage about Christ's birth, we find some angelic beings, as I'm about ready to read, who rejoice in an event that just had happened. I just read the event. It's pretty specific. I don't think there's any question about the event that unfolded here in Luke chapter 2. If we're going to believe that the Word of God is God's Word for us, it is His revealed Word, we must believe that what happened several thousand years ago actually happened. That baby boy born in a feeding trough and placed someplace where, not in this inn, not in this hotel type facility, because there was no room. And we can't just blast the innkeeper, by the way. I keep hearing this. I heard it this week by a prominent pastor on the radio. I happened to be just kind of wanting to find something about Christmas to listen to. And anyway, found somebody preaching. And if I said the pastor's name, most of you would know who it is. And he was going off about the poor innkeeper. And it was kind of, you know, like his fault that that Jesus had to be born in this way and in this manner. And I'm thinking, no, this was the plan of God from the beginning, from before the beginning of time, that Jesus would be born in this manner, in this location, in humility, serenity, but specifically humility. We come here to verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great, what? Joy, which shall be to all people. The angels came to the abiding shepherds with the greatest birth announcement ever. When the shepherds saw the angels radiating with the glory of the Lord, they literally feared, verse number 9, they feared a great fear. And you would have too, if you had been there at watching your sheep. And then all of a sudden, this unfolding, and we can picture it, but it's hard to really imagine it. And so there was an exceptional fear, literally a fear, that great fear. But watch with the angels what they did. Their response tells us, do not be afraid. They said, do not fear this great fear. You don't have to be afraid, for we have a message. And what is the message? Why wouldn't the angels have to be afraid? Because their exceptional message was one of delight and joy. It was a message of tidings and pleasure. The good tidings here says, we bring you good tidings. The good tidings is the Greek word for which we get evangelized, and it means to proclaim good news. The good news that was being proclaimed, the reason that the angels were bearing this great news was that salvation had come to mankind. Salvation had come to mankind. The source of these joyful tidings was rooted in the birth of the one who would be the Savior of all mankind. And as kindly as I can say this, but as firmly as I can say this, your birth announcement and my birth announcement, of which many of you don't even remember that you had a birth announcement, or probably had no idea that your parents may have had a birth announcement. I barely can remember 7 years ago almost that we would have even done a birth announcement for Courtney. But the realization is, while your birth announcement affected a few scores of people, and you might count them up to be several hundred, maybe if you're fortunate enough to have grown up into a home that was well known, who knows, you might have even touched 1,000 people. But this birth announcement would affect all mankind. The world was to be turned upside down because the man who had been born, who was born these years ago, and who which we celebrate and who which we rejoice today, literally changed the world forever. For what had gone wrong in the garden would become made right because of this event that happened 2,000 years ago. You know that when there is joy, and we talk about joy, that joy must correspond to something that gives us reason for gladness. Joy is not rooted in something trivial or something that even comes and goes. No, as we see here, true joy and happiness is rooted in the firm belief that the Savior had been born. Luke 2:11 continues, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It was almost like Luke wanted to reiterate what had just been said in verse 7, that she brought forth her firstborn son. That sounds like that's a birth announcement. But when you get to verse 11, we find a reiteration of this birth announcement. And the specifics, I find four things, and they're really simple, but they mean the difference between life and death. Really, life and eternal life. Life on this earth for a few years, and then hopeless eternity in the lake of fire, or life on this earth and eternal life forever. It is contained in verse 11, four things. Number one, that Christ was born. Number two, where Christ was born. Number three, that this man-child would be the Savior. And number four, that Christ is Lord. That Christ is Lord, that baby in the manger is Lord. It's hard for us to fathom that, because when we think of our babies that we held in our arms, they in just a few short days and weeks, and of course already born with a sin nature, but in a few days and weeks and maybe months, they exhibit things that tell us that our babies are nothing like this one. And every week, every day, every moment, we are reminded, it seems like at the small household, that the children that we have been given to parent are far from being perfect. But this one is the Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," listen to the joyful saying, "glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The rejoicing does not end right there in verse number 10. And while they were bringing good tidings of great joy, there's an angelic host. Literally a heavenly army that joins this procession in a chorus of adoration and praise. And these heavenly beings, I believe they recognize the significance of what had just taken place. In fact, these beings lifted up anthems of glorious praise, recognizing that this man, this Son of God, was to bring peace. I will tell you this morning that the one picture that I put up here of Courtney, and I'm not picking on Courtney, I'll pick on them all, that there's not a day that goes by where any of them exhibit the proof that they have brought peace to all the world. In fact, we pray that we only have a little peace every day in our house. But this one, and the heavenly host, these angelic group, or two groups, or several groups, this host, recognize that this one, and because he's going to bring peace on earth, which every single human being desires, it seems like. We want to have peace. We want to quit fighting. But in reality, we have no hope of peace without the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace has been born. And so the angelic hosts burst out with glorious singing and glorious anthems and glorious tidings. And notice who the glory is given to. It's not themselves. They know they haven't done anything special. They recognize that this event is to that this birth of the Savior, this birth of the one who's going to bring peace, this one who's going to change man. And really, the phrase goodwill toward men would be more accurately translated among men with whom he is pleased. Changes the thought behind that, but that's a sermon for another day. With this, they realize, they recognize that this one, Jesus, causes them, the angelic hosts, to give glory to God. I think that's what our opportunity and that what we need to be doing in this day and on this day is to give glory to God. Lift him up for what he has done. He has exhibited everlasting, great, wonderful love in the giving of his one and only Son. Mary recognized the magnitude of I go back to Luke chapter 1. Let me just read a couple of verses. Mary recognized this when she was pregnant with the Lord. She said, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And then we think about Zacharias in later in the Luke chapter 1. Listen to this. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which it have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his covenant, his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, the one, John the Baptist, shall he call the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zacharias understood not only the importance of his own son, but he understood the importance of what that son, John the Baptist, and who he was preparing the way and what it was all about. Salvation, redemption, remission of sins. So why the rejoicing? Why glory given to God? Because the most special Savior has been born. The answer to sin had been given. Christ had entered into the realm of humanity, born in the flesh. I'm excited. I'm excited today. We should be excited because of this news. Number two, the joy of the shepherds. Back to Luke chapter 2. Not only joy that the angels in the realization and they recognized who was born as they visited the shepherds. Well, the shepherds had joy too. Came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which had told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. After the angels announced Christ's birth to the shepherds, these shepherds headed to Bethlehem to see for themselves about this great news. And you notice in verse number 18, the shepherds confirmed that Christ had been born. It says that they heard it, they wondered at these things which were told by the shepherds. They heard the news and they were literally amazed at what they had heard about the Savior. This word wondered gives us an idea of divine action and revelation of the unfolding events, that God himself was truly a part of it. God himself was truly a part of it. But if you continue, verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned. And what was their response when they returned? One of glum and, oh man, this is kind of not the, you know, it's just another baby being born. I don't know how many baby shepherds went to see being born. You know, I don't even know if they ever had done it before. I won't try to read into the scriptures too much. But this seems like a pretty special event for the shepherds to have to leave their sheep and that kind of boring job to find out who this one. And the fact that angels had visited the shepherds and all of this, I can't imagine this event had ever happened anything like it in their lives before. Of course it hadn't. And so the shepherds returned and they glorified. We keep hearing that word glory and glorified. And they praised someone specific, God. For all the things, now listen to this. For all the things that they had what? Heard? But they didn't just hear them. They confirmed for themselves that what the angels told them was true. For they had heard and seen. And as it was told unto them. These shepherds, as they returned, they were changed. Their lives had been changed. There's no question. Though they were glorifying and praising God. And I'm not saying that they hadn't glorified God before and that they hadn't praised God before. I'm sure that they had. But this was a special celebration because this was a special birth. And I think it gives us a great lesson here that the birth of Christ not only changes lives, it should leave us with praise and rejoicing in our hearts. I've attempted, and you know, words can only mean so much, and really, words have to turn into action, so words kind of end at just words. But we've tried to instill the last few hours as we have opened a few gifts at our house, and some of them are dollar store gifts, and some of them are a little more expensive gifts, but we tried to talk to the kids, and the kids are so excited. I mean, I told them yesterday morning, because I knew today was going to be a huge day for us with three events that we're attending, but yesterday, Judy and I were trying to figure out, okay, when do we do gift opening? And I told the kids, okay, we can open gifts, but we have to do about five things ahead of time. And all five of those things have to be done. But you know, it doesn't stop young little kids wondering, when can they open gifts? Dad, have you got your sermon finished up? That was the last one on the list. But you know, there had to be some setup here, and there had to be cleanup at the house, and the dishes had to be washed, and everything, you know. There's a routine that we do at our house about cleanup. They understand that Dad is a big on cleanup, and we have a routine every week we do that the floor has to be cleaned of everything, because if it's not, the vacuum's going to vacuum that stuff up. And there was a bunch of stuff on the floor. I said, okay, here it is. But the excitement on their faces, but then we sat down, and all of my kids can read, and so they all took turns reading the story from Luke. That's a special thing, to have our own kids actually read the story to us. That probably means a lot more than anything else to us. And they repeated it last night when some more family came over. But I thought, you know, they're excited, but we're going to take some time. We're going to slow down. And we just talked through yesterday morning, late morning, early afternoon, I guess it was early afternoon. We just talked through with the kids, and you know, their presents are right there. But we just said, let's discuss what this means. Because this gift giving, this receiving, this giving doesn't mean a whole lot if we don't recognize this gift right here. And let's talk through the doctrine of salvation. What does it mean that Jesus died for you and took your place? What does it mean? We didn't use the word justification, but I was trying to explain to them what that meant and what imputation. And I didn't use those words, but it's not too early to introduce these three young kids the truth of God's word and what Jesus Christ did. And you know what? They sat there and they listened, even though those gifts were sitting right there. And I thought, God, that's why we're doing this. That's why we're trying to raise our kids. Are they perfect? Oh my goodness, no. But neither are their parents. And so we rejoice. I rejoice. It made my heart skip a few beats, I think. yesterday. But here we have this group doing the same thing. They are rejoicing. They are praising God. They are wondering. So it should leave us with that same praise, whether we're young or old. In the New Testament, again, giving glory to God means acknowledging, it means extolling what is already a reality. And here was the reality. Christ had been born. It had happened. And now these ones responded in this glorifying process. And so the reality is Christ has been born. There can be no extolling something that is probably not going to be true. And in this case, it is true. And so the shepherd's praise was rooted in the truth that they had witnessed Christ's birth. And verse 20 tells us that they both had heard and seen the things the angels had told them. They saw for themselves the truth that Christ had been born. So there's joy being shown here by the angels, by the shepherds. Let's look at a couple individual characters. Simeon, real quickly, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Simeon, there was the joy from this man. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, could you imagine this? Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken in him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon was an aged but yet devout man who had been promised directly by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Christ, the Lord's Christ. Verse 25 tells us that he was waiting, watch this phrase, the consolation. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That most likely alludes to all the prophecies of the anticipation of a Jewish Messiah. And you can read Isaiah chapter 40, 1 and 2, 10 and 11, Isaiah 61, which I read in my quiet time this morning, verses 1 and 2. And you can cross-reference that here to Luke chapter 2, verse 38, which we'll read in just a moment. But the word consolation means comfort, and it refers to the divine comfort that the Jews were longing for. They were looking for, although these past few hundred years prior to the beginning of the New Testament, I think there was a lot of hope that had been lost. A lot of things that had gone upside down. But this consolation of Israel refers to the messianic hope, which is a name for the Messiah. And so when Simeon held this child, he recognized who he was and he responded by blessing God. That's what it says. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. The word blessed is the Greek word eulogeo, which means to praise, to speak well. It has a meaning of extolling. So Simeon knew who this was. You notice that all of these people knew who this one was. And when they saw him, and when he held him, his response was rejoicing. Because he knew. And he waited for this. And he said, you know what? I now can go in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation. So I ask you a question today. How do you think Simeon behaved when he held the Messiah for whom he had waited for all his life to see? I mean, when you stop and you think about what Simeon, as he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and then that very moment, I would think he would have been like I think he would have been like a new parent, holding his first child times 5 million. Because he knew that this person not only would touch his life, but would touch so many other lives. And so his response was, he praised God, he rejoiced. Why did he rejoice? Verse 30 says, mine eyes have seen his salvation. And unlike other religious leaders who had long given up on waiting on the Messiah, Simeon devoutly, patiently waited for the day. And what a day that must have been. And that gives us an indication that perhaps when the day we see Jesus, what a day that will be when we behold him. The joy of Anna. Number four, the angels, the shepherds, Simeon, the joy of Anna. Verse 36, same chapter. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God in fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. My kids decided that they didn't want to stop at verse 20 in Luke chapter 2 yesterday. They just wanted to keep reading and reading in Luke 2. So we just kept reading and reading through all of Luke 2. And we came to this section, and they were trying to figure out what Phanuel was. And they were kind of hung up on that word. But we just thought, as we sat here and we talked about verse 37, could you imagine for all these years, first of all, losing her husband so long ago, and then just being in the temple? I mean, it says she didn't depart from the temple. I mean, I go stir crazy when I can't get out of my house after a couple of days. This one, Anna, and we were surmising that perhaps she didn't have any children, and that was one of the reasons why she was in the temple, and there's no children to take care of her. We don't know. I don't have all that information, and maybe there was something in the law that the widow would go and do this, a prophetess, whatever. I don't know all the particulars, all the background, but she served God night and day and didn't leave the temple. Can you imagine that for all these years? But then, Anna, when she recognized that the Savior had been born, she gave thanks. The announcement was that the Messiah, the redemption of Jerusalem, had come. Her response was thanksgiving. Her words were full of rejoicing because she recognized again who this one was. Lastly today, as we close this service, the joy of, and turn to Matthew chapter 2, one more group, the joy of the wise men. The joy of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, and it's just one verse is really all that we need to see. It's a short verse, but you get a good idea of what the wise men's response to this one that had been born. When they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men rejoiced when they saw the star, because that star meant to them that Jesus Christ was living where that star was. Their response when they found him was to worship and extol him with gifts fit for a king. You can read that in the next verse. When they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down, they worshipped him, and when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's not a lot said about the wise men, and there's a lot of ideas of who the wise men were, and how many there were, and the way they traveled, and how old Jesus was at this time. And some of that we don't all know all the specific information, but what we know this is they brought gifts. And they worshiped like this man was different than anybody else. And these men were probably some type of leaders, perhaps kings themselves, from the east or from far distant away, most likely Gentiles, not getting into all the specifics, not understanding all of it. But the reality is the gifts that they brought, the way that they worshiped, in fact, let me say it this way. I can't think of one instance where I know of a kingly leader traveling a far distance to worship another leader that is only a few months old. Have you ever heard of that? I can't ever think of an example. Maybe you could pour through history and you can find that somebody like Queen Elizabeth went to the birth and then bowed and extolled and gave these gifts. And I suppose you can dig up a story or two. But this tells me, and this is unusual, something was special was going on here. They recognized it. How did they know about it? Perhaps they knew about it from old ancient manuscripts of years gone by from people like Daniel who lived in Babylon. And word had gotten through that there would be a Jewish Messiah born sometime in the future. And when they recognized it, they came and they gave gifts, worshiping this one because they knew this one was a king. And so the wise men's worship tells me they believe Jesus to be the king, and we find that Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the consolation, Jesus is the redemption, Jesus is the Redeemer, Jesus is Lord. That's this baby. And so the joy that all the people felt was rooted again in the belief that the child that they had seen, the child that they held, the child that had been worshipped was the very long-awaited Messiah. The birth of Christ was here. It had happened, and it was a source of praise and joy. And the only right response of godly people toward the Messiah's birth is to praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, this Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. In Christ alone my hope is found, in Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me, and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Psalms of praise should always be on our lips for God fulfilling the promise of salvation. The Messiah is the source of salvation for all people. We have nothing to mope about. Christ the Savior has been born in Bethlehem. Let us rejoice together. That day when Jesus was born at first brought fear. But those who believed it turned to in much happiness and joy. And should be no different today for us here. The reality remains that the Savior was that baby boy. O come, all ye faithful. O come, all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.